It's time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. We're on a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning, Irene. How are you?
She's always listening.
I don't blame her. Part of the time she just makes notes so she can harass you and me later. I think she was amused, but a little concerned that last week, out of 45 minutes, we took almost 20 minutes to talk about gardening. The rest of the time was just...
She told me she learns more and more and more about Larry. Yes. every show we have.
Yeah. She was a little concerned that you were sitting in the ditch when he was racing. I said, would you rather have him in the car? She said, well, I was in the car with him plenty of times.
Yeah, she told me that. She said, I guess he liked you more than me.
Well, maybe.
He was more concerned about you than he was me.
Well, I think what he was concerned with, you were a little kid and you might do something stupid in the car.
That's
that would make him
lose the race.
Yes, or lose control.
Right, that's true.
He knew that Mom was a responsible person.
Oh,
and
I see how.
That's our story, and we're sticking with it.
I see where this is going.
Yep. Well, not that you're not responsible now, but when you're six, you weren't that quite that responsible. Because if I remember correctly, you spent some time making paper airplanes in church.
Well, somebody taught me how to make paper airplanes in church out of the church bulletin.
Yep. I didn't do that. My father did. I didn't.
Oh.
Anyway, do we have any garden thing to talk
this,
about?
Is this... what's the name of the show? Is it Tiptoeing Down Memory Lane?
Tiptoe Through the Tulips. So I guess we better get to the tulips.
Tiptoe Down Memory Lane. Well, I picked an incredible profession to be in because my allergies are kicking my butt this whole last week. So pollen is really high right now with plants doing their thing and blooming and flowering and turf. Also, you don't see the flowers, but turf also, I had mentioned last week, is going to seed, so it's producing seed in the lawns. Obviously, there's has to be a flower if there's going to be a seed. So the pollen count is just off the charts, and I can tell you that for a fact because I feel miserable with allergies, and I've been taking allergy medicine, but it doesn't work. And I am allergic to grass.
Maybe it works, and it'd be a lot worse without it.
I am allergic to grass pollen and tree pollen, so like I said, the it was really the perfect industry for me to get into. But that's for a different show. Also, again, with the warmer temperatures, you know, pollen is really, really high right now because obviously the time of year that it is, and we haven't had, you know, a real significant, you know, rainfall in a number of days. And so the pollen kind of lingers and hangs and floats through the air. So if we get some showers to blow through, it actually does kind of clean the air a little bit, and it's going to get some of that pollen out of the air. With the warmer temperatures, had a really, really, really busy week. Noticed a tremendous amount of insects starting to... I really didn't look at anything specifically that the insect population was so high that it was actually going to kill the plant, but certainly looked at a lot of plants that had a tremendous amount of insect activity. Saw a lot of aphids this week. Aphids are pretty decent-sized little insects. They're pretty easy to notice. They can be kind of a translucent, pale, like a lime green color. They can also be black. and then you know, just some different shades of green, and then, you know, dark, like a black, real dark black, and then kind of a brownish black color. But they're all, you know, in the same family. They're, again, you know, a relatively large insect in that they're maybe an eighth of an inch long. Some insects like spider mites are really minute, and you almost need a hand lens to see those. Spider mites, again, are really tiny. Aphids are very easy to see. They're usually on the bottom sides of the leaves, so if you look at the leaves at a glance, you're not going to see them. If you take the leaf and turn it upside down, they're, again, very, very, very easy to see. They are an insect that has a piercing, sucking mouth part. Their mouth is kind of like a syringe, and they will pierce the underneath side of the leaf, and they will just suck all the nutrients out of the leaf. So again, you may notice the leaf on the top side starting to go off color, maybe having kind of a dimpled or kind of a wavy appearance to it, that in a lot of cases can go kind of a brown, go off color. And what you'll a lot of times notice is the leaves will curl or cup over on themselves, or kind of look like an accordion when you... And again, if you pick the leaf up and you just look at it, you're like, that's odd. But then you really don't see what is causing it. But if you turn the leaf over and look, you'll see a lot of different things. You'll see the more the adult aphids, which are the bigger ones. You'll see lots and lots and lots of little ones that are just little bitty tiny buggers that are running all over the place. You will also, in a lot of cases, see a lot of white on the bottom sides of the leaves as well. As aphids grow, they shed their skin like snakes do, and the white that you're seeing is the shed skin of the aphid. So they're kind of ugly little critters, and then you see all that garbage. And I forgot the coolest part of the aphid is they have a very, very, very crude digestive system, and so they suck the sap in, and it comes out almost as quickly as it comes in. So the underneath sides of the leaves, your automobile, if it's parked near it, even if you're standing underneath a large tree and you get this sappy stuff that kind of falls on you, that's their poop.
That's aphid poop.
It's very sweet because it is...
I've never tasted it.
Well, I didn't taste it either, but...
you're taking the expert's word for it.
Yes, because it's not uncommon when you have a lot of aphids, you'll have ants, and the ants will be attracted to the remains, excrement of the... Trying to keep it clean.
Yes.
Excrement of the insect because it is... It's like sap. It's clear, and it's real like a sugary type water. So it goes through the insect very quickly. The ants are attracted to that. Also, when that... it looks like, you know, almost like dew or little droplets all over everything that it, you know, is near. So again, there's a lot of different things that you'll notice when the aphids are real actively feeding on your plant. Then that, sappy, sticky, excrement, will not only attract ants, but it also eventually, on there long enough, it will get like a black mildew that grows on it that then kind of turns the foliage black. That's very common too. So, population wise, if you have a, you know, depending on what plant it's on, I've seen them. I mean, they have a wide, wide, wide range of hosts, and so I've this week specifically. Saw them on oak trees, and then saw a bunch of them on a clump heritage river birch, which on the river birch, it again caused the leaves to, you know, accordion. They just kind of fold up neatly on themselves, kind of like an accordion. And if you flip the leaf over and pull it apart, you'll see all the insects in there working. Also from, I think it's from egg. I'd have to look this up. I can't remember specific. I think from mating to laying eggs to having a feeding juvenile aphid, I think is like around like 20 days. And so your population can just explode because they go from an egg to an adult within a, you know, a couple of weeks, and then that insect then is ready to start mating and lay more eggs. So again, the population can get overwhelming in a really, really, really short period of time. So on the bright side, I mean, they're not difficult to control if you see them. Some people, you know, use just a, like an insecticidal soap, works really well to control them.
So what do you do with an insecticidal soap?
An insecticidal soap, you can make your own, honestly.
Okay.
Like with Dawn dishwashing detergent, that works. Mix that with water and spray it.
Oh, okay.
We have different types of insecticidal soaps, and it's just a concentrate that you mix with water and spray it on. It's very safe. They're easy to control. They're not a tough insect to control. Spider mites can be very problematic because they build up a resistance to insecticides just unbelievably fast. And so if you're chasing, and I haven't seen any spider mite damage yet, but I anticipate probably with the temperatures that we're having that we're going to see that very quickly. We very well could be talking about that next Saturday. But spider mites are really tough to control. You almost need three or four different types of insecticides in your arsenal when you're treating those, because if you use the same one week in and week out, year in and year out, you're basically going to build a population that just simply is not affected by what you're using. And so you constantly have to be throwing them something different to manage the population. Aphids aren't like that. Anything that you apply is going to work. I've seen people that have isolated issues with spider mites. You just, you know, use a really hard stream of water and spray them off. And a lot of times when they get down into the mulch, they will die and they can't get back up onto the plant. I guess they must not be very nimble. So a hard stream of water, insecticidal soap, horticultural oil. Of course, if you get into your, you know, sevens and liquid seven or the powdered, you know, seven. The problem is, again, with those insecticidal products is, again, I had mentioned that they hang out mostly or nearly exclusively on the bottom sides of the leaves. So you have to have a sprayer that has a decent amount of pressure, or you have to spend some time to, you know, make sure you get a good application and you actually get that application under the leaves to get control. If you just come out and just kind of willy-nilly kind of just spray across the tops, you're really not going to accomplish much, if anything. Another, you know, possible product that could be used if you have a consistent problem year in and year out with specific plants and aphids is to use a systemic insecticide. Like Imidazoline Clopyrid is a very, 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 very good insecticide that was patented by Bayer a number of years ago, and I'm sure that it's off patent at this point because you can buy it under a lot of different names. But a systemic is actually a better insecticide to use for any problem that you're chasing because what that does is you actually, you know, water it in around the base of a plant, and the insecticide will be drawn up through the vascular system of the plant, and the insect that's feeding on your, again, in this case, the aphids aren't feeding on the foliage. They're not going to devour the leaf itself. It's sucking the nutrients out of the leaf, and then eventually the leaf will die and fall off, but they don't actually ingest the leaf itself. They're taking the sap out of the leaf. Well, with a systemic, that insecticide is in the leaf, and so as they're, you know, get their straw or their syringe and they're sucking all the nutrients out of the leaf, they're sucking that insecticide in, and it's going to kill them. So that's awesome because you're not killing any beneficials. You don't want to, again, when you're applying an over-the-top broadcast type of an application, you're probably going to, with a little bit of luck, kill the insect you're after. But if there's ladybugs, honeybees, spiders, which are, you know, definitely all those are considered beneficial insects, you're going to wipe them out too. So you're better off using a systemic. The downside to a systemic is it needs time to get up into the plant. It needs time to be taken in through the roots, through either you watering it in or, you know, it just takes time. And then once it's in the vascular system, it has to be translocated from the roots all the way up into the foliage. And so that certainly can take a week to 3 weeks for that to happen. And so that's why it's not, it's the most effective way to kill problematic insects, but it's certainly not the fastest. In some cases, if we're seeing issues with specific plants like we're talking about, you can do a over-the-top kind of a broadcast application to knock the population down that's there currently, and then couple that with a systemic application that you put in water in around the roots of the plant. And then that way you knock the initial population out, and then you're protecting the plant going forward with a systemic that if the population comes back and they're feeding on the leaves, obviously they're going to knock out the next generation that comes along. And you're going to have it's easy, and there's a lot of insects that will have multiple generations in one season. So if you knock out the spider mite population or the aphid population this spring, and you're like, well, I'm done for the season. Well, not necessarily. There's multiple generations in a single growing season, so they could come back. That's why you always want to be kind of aware. Kind of check your plants out when you're out mowing instead of drinking a beer.
You could do both.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not talented enough. Well, I'm usually looking for weeds and insects.
You could stop the mower and then get off and look, and then you'd have less chance of spilling your beer since you haven't rolled your lawn to squish all the clay down into a hard clump.
That's right. I think we need to take a break, and we'll be back to the bugs shortly.
All right, back in just a minute.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Buying a new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Our friends at New Knoxville are holding a special fundraising event featuring former Buckeyes and NFL linebacker and Big Ten Network broadcaster Joshua Perry. The event will be held at the Galleria in Salina on Saturday night, June 12th. Doors open at 4 and dinner will be at 6. Besides their guest speaker, Joshua Perry, there will also be live and silent auctions and a 50-50 drawing. The fundraiser is to help raise funds for their Raising the Barn 2.0, which is a school expansion project, including a new gym. Tickets are available by going to their Facebook page, The Barn 2.0, and clicking on the link. Here's a great way to have a fun night with former OSU linebacker Joshua Perry, and also help our friends at New Knoxville with their school expansion project, including their new gym. Saturday evening, June 12th, at the Galleria in Salina. Tickets available now by clicking on the link on their Facebook page, The Barn 2.0.
And we're back here with Steve Stone, and we just were listening to the fundraiser thing about the barn, and they're going to have Joshua Perry on. And I just saw, I believe I saw yesterday, I've reduced the price of those tickets and are wanting to get as many people as they can in to see Joshua Perry. Originally, it was going to be Urban Meyer. But he got busy all of a sudden down in Florida. So
yeah, I could imagine his schedule got a little bit hectic there.
Yeah.
Recently with his new job that he's undertaking. So yeah, before the break, we were talking about insects, and we were talking about aphids and how they're very active and feeding on plants. There's also a soft scale insect called a calico scale, and the calico scales are, again, another insect that is a relatively large insect, pretty easy to see on the plant. It also is very active at this point, and it tends to spend most of its time on the stems of specific plants, not necessarily like on the underneath sides of the leaves like the aphids do. So you'll notice them on the stems, and they look like little warts on the stems of different plants. But again, they have the same mouth part, the syringe piercing mouth part, and they create basically the same mess as what the aphids do, as far as they will secrete a tremendous amount of honeydew covering foliage, automobiles, houses, windows, anything that's close to it will be covered in this honeydew. And then again, it's very common when you start seeing that, you'll see that black sooty mold start to grow on the foliage or wherever on the stems of the branches, and creates pretty much kind of a mess. But again, relatively easy to control the insect. Again, what I would suggest for sure with the calico scale, any soft scale, would be to use a horticultural oil. Horticultural oil is going to do a really good job of controlling the nymphs as well as the adults. And again, some time and some rainfall and stuff, and the sooty mold and the sticky mess that they create is going to kind of clean itself up relatively easily. But again, just a lot of things happening as far as bugs go, just because of the time of year that it is. The warmer days that we're having is creating a lot of the right temperatures for the insects to become really, really, really active at this point. One of the questions I've been getting asked about a lot is the periodical cicadas that are going to emerge, or in some cases down south, like in Cincinnati, have already emerged. I've heard from some of the other people in the industry I'm in, Butler County, there's been some that have hatched down in Butler County. And we're definitely going to see that this week, I would say for sure, with the temperatures I'm looking at. The 17-year cicada is what it's called. They actually emerge, this particular cicada, Brood 10, is a 17-year periodical cicada, and they're going to be, they spend pretty much their whole 17 years in the ground, and they're going to be coming out as a large nymph. They're almost an inch long, or pretty close to an inch long. You'll see them kind of crawling up different types of trees on the trunks, and then the adult will emerge from the nymph kind of looks like a big, ugly, I don't know, beetle, for lack of a better term, but it doesn't have a hard shell on its back. And then the cicadas have a really menacing look to them, as far as they have really bright red eyes and really long wings that cover their whole body and then extend even beyond their body a good ways. People get really paranoid about them. I've actually received I don't know how many phone calls in regards to them, and when do we treat for them, and how do we treat for them, and how much damage are they going to cause? And when them suckers come up out of the ground after 17 years, they're only looking for one thing, Neil.
Oh, I'm thinking two, something to eat.
Well, they're honestly, they don't create a lot of damage as far as feeding goes.
What do they eat? Or do we even care? Do they? They're not hungry.
They're just looking for one thing, and that's to mate.
A girlfriend.
They want a girlfriend, and that's why they're singing, because that singing, well, they call it singing, it's more of an annoying freaking buzz, but
yeah.
That is to attract a mate. They mate, the female lays eggs. In the stems of branches, they do have the females will cause some minor damage to smaller trees. The females have it's called an ovipositor, and it basically is like a plow, and it will cut long, straight lines in small branches of trees, and it will lay eggs in those, in that long slit that it makes in the stem, and then those eggs actually will hatch. First instars actually fall to the ground, move into the ground or dig into the ground, and then 17 years later it all starts all over again. But very peculiar insect. But again, as far as damage, feeding, stuff like that, no, it's you know, and then as far as even if you see them, you know, to apply an insecticide is absolutely not recommended. You're going to have a hard time controlling them, and other than them being super annoying, as far as depending on how many hatch in our area, they're going to be noisy as all get out. But beyond that, and then that doesn't last a long time either.
3 weeks?
I don't even think quite that.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere 2 to 3 weeks or something like that.
And then they're going to be, you know, they're going to be gone. And so, you know, to spray an insecticide is ludicrous. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. You don't want to do that. Again, if you have some small trees, I have seen in past, there's a lot of different types of cicadas, so there's some that certainly come out every year. This particular brood is the 17-year cicada. They can cause a little bit of what's called flagging, which, again, with a younger tree, you'll see the tips of the branches maybe die back a foot to 2 foot. And if you look at those branches, you'll see that long slit on the branch. And obviously that's what caused that particular part of the branch to die. That can easily be pruned out. And as far as overall health and longevity of the tree, it doesn't make a lick of difference. So,
and I've heard that you don't want to spray them because birds eat them, and then they're ingesting that insecticide. And I don't know if that's correct.
That's actually...
I saw it on Facebook, so some of that is occasionally true.
Yeah. Don't get all your info from Facebook, no, Neil. It's not hugely reliable, we'll say. But that is true. Again, you know, applying an insecticide to an insect that's going to live, you know, 2 weeks just simply doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't create a lot of damage anyhow. I mean, yeah, they're ugly, and yeah, some people just scare the bejeebers out of them, and I don't get it. They're just kind of a big, ugly insect. They're not going to bite you or suck the juices out of you.
But they might fly in your face and get caught in your hair, not mine, but maybe somebody else's.
Well, again,
I don't know that that's ever happened, but everybody thinks that's what's going to happen.
If I think I would call that a first world problem.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not much of a problem is where I'm going with that. You know, again, not anything to be worried about. Again, it's going to be unusual. You're going to see a lot of them depending on, again, the emergence and the population. You certainly could potentially, you know, as those suckers croak, you could see lots of them laying around on the ground, sidewalks. I mean, you're certainly going to see them. It's still a little bit too early to tell, you know, up here in our rural area of Mercer County, how many we're going to see. I know in the cities, they've been, like Cincinnati, Columbus, I listened to a couple of Cincinnati stations and stuff. They've been talking about it a lot. And, you know, again, I think it's just kind of ridiculous hype. It's not anything to get overly excited about. I have seen some people that are super particular about their landscaping. I don't know anybody that's any more particular about their landscaping than me, but they are making it a point to, like, if you have a specific plant that's very special, or, you know, something that's you really care about, that's easy to kind of get your hands on, literally, like a big Japanese maple or something like that. There are different wraps that are out there to use to kind of keep the cicadas off of those specific plants. But again, my argument to that would be, if you have a beautiful Japanese maple and you don't want it damaged, and you spend an evening, you know, wrapping that sucker up in a net or a loosely woven cloth to keep the insects from damaging it. If you don't do anything, you might have a half a dozen dead branches to trim out, which, you know, the plants probably need trimmed once a year anyhow. So I wouldn't get real excited about it. I can tell you I'm not worried about it at all. But again, it's different. So
yeah,
it's unusual. So it's catching an awful lot of news out there. So people are certainly talking about it. And again, I've had a number of phone calls. You know, what do I apply? When do I apply it? Can you come out and treat my yard? You know, and, you know, it just, some of those people, you just got to kind of talk off the ledge and say, hey, you know, it's not a big deal. Don't,
yeah, you can, don't, you can give me money and we'll go do something, but it's not going to help you.
Yeah. I mean,
if you feel better, give me money.
Well, no, on something like that specifically, I would never, ever, ever recommend treating for them, and I certainly wouldn't charge somebody to go out and treat knowing that I'm not doing any good and I'm taking advantage of the customer.
But what if it makes them feel better?
Well,
what if it makes them feel more secure? You could be like a therapist.
Well, then they need to go get some sort of therapy, because I'm not playing into their issues. But because again, it's nothing at all to get excited about. Unless you like cicadas, then it's, you know, hey, it's pretty exciting, because there's going to be a bunch of them out there and they are going to be noisy. So I think we need to get to another break and we'll keep the bug talk going.
All right. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green, and if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Do you have a graduation party coming up? Wayne Street Market has everything you need to put together a great party. Call ahead for their great roasted chicken and their delicious shredded chicken, beef, or barbecue pork. Get a few pounds or a roaster full. Just let them know 48 hours ahead of time. And don't forget to call ahead for their party trays. Fruit, vegetable, sandwiches, cookies, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. And while you're there, don't forget to grab the soft drinks, beer, wine, and all the snacks. Get everything you need for your graduation or Memorial Day party at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more.
This is RJ with the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. Be sure to mark your calendars for this year's event, August 27th and 28th, 2021, to be held at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature the Friday night Toe and Go Raffle, as well as the Saturday Super Raffle. We're set to give away up towards $1 million worth of cash and prizes this year. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Don't miss out on the event of the year, the 2021 WOW Super Raffle, August 27th and 28th in downtown Fort Recovery.
Wow. Welcome back. Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. We're talking about cicadas mostly and other bugs. So what's...
Yep. Got a couple other things to get to here before I have to go to work. Been noticing some different types of gulls popping up on some plants, specifically oak trees. Gulls are hard to explain on the radio. They're usually started by a type of a wasp that will sting a branch, and a gull wasp, and it changes the growth pattern or habit of that stem, and it kind of tries to heal that egg inside that gull, and they can look really peculiar. They can look like usually about the size of a nickel or maybe a quarter, and you'll just see the stem come down slender and normal, and then you'll see this big round thing that's kind of looks like it's part of the branch, which it actually is, but there's actually eggs inside that will eventually obviously hatch and turn into the adult insect. And so again, when you're seeing the gulls on specific trees and branches, again, it's not something... Well, once you see the problem, treating it is irrelevant at that point with an insecticide. So if you see a few of them, I would just suggest trimming them out and killing them or get rid of them. But again, it is something that we're seeing an awful lot of right now. And then also, and again, every season's different, and I don't know why this season it is the way it is, but trees, shade trees specifically, like elms and silver maples specifically, are producing just an unbelievable amount of seed right now. So if you have a silver maple, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The amount of samaras, which are the helicopters, people call them, which are the seeds, the production is like probably a season like I've never seen before.
Yeah, there's have a blower, and I blow them off my sidewalk and my porch every day, and they're just piles of them.
Yeah, in some seasons you'll see, every season you'll see some. Some seasons you may not notice them hardly at all, but they're there. This year, for whatever reason, the production level is, I've never seen it like this. I mean, you look at trees, silver maples specifically, you look at trees right now, and they're producing so many seeds that the tree itself almost looks like it's March, because the leaves are so slow in coming out, so few and so tiny, because all of its energy is going into producing those seeds. And it certainly can create stress for the plant that it's producing that much seed. They'll eventually fill in with leaves, but at this point, as those samaras kind of ripen, they go from green to kind of a light tan. It almost makes the tree look like it's... I've had people say, well, my silver maple's dying. And you go out and look at it, it's like, no, that's just got an awful lot of samaras on it. Well, what's a samara? Well, it's those little helicopter things.
Then why didn't you just say that in the first place?
Because they're not helicopter things, they're samaras. And so, again, every season's different. In some seasons, they will produce a tremendous amount, and this is one of those years. And, I mean, it literally, like Neil had mentioned, I have a neighbor that has a bunch of silver maples out by his front yard by the road, and they come over into my yard, and again, it's just amazing how many there is. You could literally almost rake them up. There's just so many this year, and again, the foliage looks really minute, tiny, thin, lacking any adjective you want to use. They just, the leaves are struggling to emerge because they're producing so many samaras. And I have some elms in my backyard, which I planted when I lost some ash trees due to the emerald ash borer. And they produced so many seeds. And their seeds are really tiny. They're maybe this smaller than a dime. but they produce hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of seed, and they kind of blow around the house. They're really tiny and light, and they actually like almost created drifts in front of my garage doors. There were so many of them this year. So usually those trees are producing seed according to some environmental stresses that whatever happened, you know, last fall, last winter. So since the elms and the maples are both producing it at the same ridiculous quantities, I would say there was an environmental issue. I don't say issue, environmental factor or stress that happened that caused those trees to produce so much seed. The negative is that they're just a mess to clean up. They make your yard look lousy because there's so many of them, and you go through and mow them and try to cut them up, but they're still really light tan in color. So you really, eventually they will deteriorate to the point where you're not going to see them anymore. The elms aren't, and you know, like acorns from oak trees, those don't germinate as easily and readily as those silver maple samaras, those big helicopters. Those things seem to germinate like everywhere they fall, they'll germinate. So whether that be in your spouting at your house, your driveway, your lawn, your landscape beds, gutters, curbs, sidewalks, no matter where they land, if they get enough moisture, they're going to germinate and grow. And so, again, in your landscape bed, you may see a bunch of little silver maples trying to grow. And again, you know, the gutters of your house, I've seen them grow, germinate and grow in the gutters of your house. I mean, they just literally will germinate and grow almost any place. So that can be a little bit problematic. But if they're in your lawn, you mow over them three or four times and they're going to die. In your landscape beds, you might need to rake them out or pull them out, because they can get to be a point, they can get to the, you know, a size where they're going to be, you know, problematic. Hopefully you get them out before they're like 4 or 5 inches in trunk caliper, but you never know.
Yeah, you don't want anything quite that big growing in your, although I have seen some pretty good ones in some of the houses that we deliver to with calps, and they drive by and you see these, you know, I've seen some over a foot tall in the gutter.
Yeah.
Mine never got that big. I always try to trim them back when they get to about 6 inches. get on my ladder and get up there and cut them back a little bit.
That's right. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back next Saturday with lots of great information. Again, if you have any questions or topics, by all means, give us a call here at the station, or send me an email at steve@naturesgreennursery.com, and we'll definitely get to it on the air.
All right. See you next week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.